Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
National Geographic magazine named Helen Thayer one of the great explorers of the 20th century. Mrs. Thayer has trekked to the North Pole and Antarctica. She's traveled across Death Valley and the Sahara. And in 2001, Helen Thayer and her husband Bill, along with a pair of camels they called Tom and Jerry, walked across the Gobi Desert, 1,600 miles of blazing heat where even camels can die of thirst. They lived to tell the tale in Helen's new book titled, appropriately enough, Walking the Gobi. She told her story to Living on Earth's Bruce Gellerman.
Helen, what does Gobi mean?
It means stony desert. There are a few variations and interpretations, but basically it means stony desert because there's only 3% of the Gobi Desert is sand. Most of it is stony.
When I think of Mongolia, I think of Genghis Khan, nomads, misery, and some of the most severe temperatures and the severe temperature fluctuations in the world.
Well, the wintertime, temperatures can be minus 40 degrees quite easily. Snow and ice, blinding snowstorms, winds sweeping down from Siberia. And in fact, in two winters previous to our journey across the Gobi, the Mongolians lost around 3 million of their animals to the previous two winters, terrible storms. But then in the summertime, temperatures, as we found, can be easily over 120 degrees. And we had a high temperature of 126 degrees Fahrenheit. That's in the shade, but there was no shade.
It's kind of interesting that it's such a barren place and a desolate place. You are constantly managing to meet people.
Yes, we would. Sometimes we went for stretches where we saw no one. Just some snakes and the gecko lizards were our companions, and the scorpions, of course. We must not forget those scorpions. But we would meet people, and these would be people who are moving from one place to another, looking for food and water for their animals and themselves.
You had a GPS device, which sometimes got you lost, and satellite maps. And you asked for directions once on your journey from the nomads. And the response was enough to make most people stop in their tracks.
Well, they told us, of course, we knew that if we crossed the border into China, we very likely would be shot because we would be accused of being drug smugglers. So we knew there was a danger of certainly being shot. But, of course, we decided that, you know, we had permission to be very close to the border. So with navigation and so forth, we figured that we wouldn't be crossing the border. Certainly wasn't our intention. We were forced over by a series of canyons at one point, and that wasn't a very good situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the border soldiers do arrest you, and they do threaten to shoot you as smugglers.
That's right, they do. It was a close call, but in the end, we were able to convince them. Of course, they could see that we weren't smugglers. We had nothing on us that would even hint at that. But, of course, the interrogation went on and on and on. It was ridiculous. And we finally got through because of our age.
But he asked you that very good question. Why are you walking across the desert?
Oh, that just about floored him. He couldn't believe anybody would walk across the desert. In fact, anybody that we met in the desert, they had no concept of the idea of anybody walking all the way across the desert, because the nomads will during the winter they stay in one place, a fairly sheltered place, but then in the springtime and summer and fall they'll move according to the pasture and the food and water, and they follow their ancestral routes. Mongolia is a country with no fences, and people basically don't own land, but they're constantly searching for food and water in the summer.
The nomads live in something what they're called gers?
Ger. It's a ger. It's pronounced ger. It's like a Russian yurt, but in Mongolian it's called ger. The door always faces south to avoid the Siberian winds, and the visitors are escorted to the left-hand side, which is the male side of the ger, and on that side you're under the protection of the sky god Tengger. And the women of the family go to the right, and they're under the protection of the sun god. And then the back of the gear is very sacred. This is where the elders are allowed to go.
And heaven forbid if you hit your head on the doorway.
Yeah, if you do, if you step on the threshold, it's considered the same as stepping on your host's neck. And you mustn't point your feet at the fire, because you might upset the spirit of the fire, and he might not cook the next meal.
Now, you almost didn't get to make this trip.
Yes, it was very serious. A person rear-ended us on a bridge. We were stopped in traffic, and this person rear-ended us at very high speed, and I had very serious injuries to my lower body, hips, low back, legs, and I was even told that I might not walk again, certainly not walk long distances again, but I knew that that wasn't so, so I just searched for the right person, and finally I found the person to put me back together again, and I'm possibly better than ever because I worked so hard through rehab to strengthen my legs, and it's as though the accident didn't happen now.
But on your trek across the Gobi, you were hurting.
Yes, I was. It was terribly painful. I wasn't recovered at that time from the accident, but we had a choice. We could have postponed it, but then we didn't know if politics would interfere with our future plans because the Mongolian borders had been closed due to communism for the last 70 years. And with these countries, we've learned from bitter experience that countries' borders can close down overnight. And so it was wide open and we had our permits and we were good to go. And I said to Bill, well, if I don't give it my best try, I will never know if I could make it. And I'd rather give it my best try, even if it means that I can't get it all the way across, rather than stay at home and always question myself. So we set out and we were successful.
Do you and Bill talk much when you're on these treks?
Oh, yes, we chat. We sing songs together. You wouldn't want to hear us. It's just as well we go out there to sing because no one would want us to sing. We're just awful. And when things are tough, we bolster each other and make sure we're both staying optimistic and we support each other. Oh, sometimes Bill start to tell jokes. We might have heard them 20 times already, but they're still funny out there. And then sometimes we see the funny side of what we're doing and laugh at ourselves. So we managed to get across the desert in good spirits, and neither one of us gets down on anything.
What might be a Helen and Bill Thayer song?
Well, we start off by Onward Christian Soldiers. That seems to be a good marching song, and off we go, and that sort of gets us going, and we like that one. That's sort of one of our favorite hymns, actually.
The book is called Walking the Gobi. The author is Helen Thayer. Helen, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Explorer Helen Thayer speaking with Living on Earth's Bruce Gellerman. On the next Living on Earth,
poverty has a way of crawling under the skin and getting into the brain. We know one of the big mechanisms whereby this happens is through stress. That high levels of stress for a child, in a sense, produces a toxic environment within that child's body for healthy brain development and healthy cognitive skills.
How poverty can last a lifetime, next time on Living on Earth.